The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I woke up this morning with reflections about uncertainty. My mind was just taking in, remembering the news I'd read the night before, which was impacting my family, my brother in New Jersey, the storms and the hurricane that hit Louisiana, up in New Jersey, New York yesterday and today, and really devastating. It's kind of stunning how much damage and loss of life there was in the Northeast. And really taking in the uncertainty of our world. It seems so obvious right now. It's like it's in our face, the hurricane hitting and the storms of just yesterday. And I was in Tennessee last week with my family, and there were major floods to the west of us. Again, sudden startling floods, and then the fires in California and Lake Tahoe. It feels like it's in our face, the uncertainty. Some large forces at work in our lives that we don't have control over. Uncertainty is at play in every level of our lives, not just these big levels. Sometimes we see it more as it happens on these bigger levels, but the vast scale, the cosmic scale, there's uncertainty. We could be hit by an asteroid. That seems remote possibility, and it is a remote possibility, but it is a possibility, and not much that we have control over that. The climate, political situations, social situations, our own personal lives, our own personal situations, our health, our relationships, accidents. Some number of people every morning wake up thinking it's a normal day and don't make it to the end of the day. We just don't know. It is a truth that we just don't know. So this uncertainty can bring some reactions, responses. Often, actually, we ignore the uncertainty until it's right in our face. And maybe that's why it was in my mind this morning, because it's really in our face right now. It's so obvious. It's so present. But we often just ignore the uncertainty. It's like the way that we can navigate our lives, we have some measure of ability to contribute to conditions that to some extent will let us do what we'd like to do. But we misinterpret that to some extent as being in control of our lives, and we forget this level of uncertainty that is just with us constantly. And even every single moment, we don't know in a moment what the next thing will be. So when uncertainty kind of comes into our, when it's so obvious that we can't ignore it anymore, we often will react to it. We don't like this uncertainty. We don't it feels wrong in some way. You know, the uncertainty, we can respond to that, this kind of uncertainty with fear, anxiety, dread, confusion. We can at times, depending on the kind of uncertainty we're facing, feel like we're to blame. You know, I did something wrong. I blew it. If I hadn't done that thing, then, you know, even not acknowledging or not kind of taking in that we can't see all the possible outcomes. And to also acknowledge or recognize that there are times that we do things that are less than skillful that will contribute to suffering. It will, the conditions that we sometimes engage with will contribute to things that we don't like, things that we don't want to happen. And yet they happen. So sometimes we feel like we've made a mistake. We are to blame. Self-judgment, self-hatred, that kind of emotion comes up around uncertainty. Or sometimes we blame somebody else. We feel like somebody else blew it. Somebody else did something wrong. And we have the blame and the anger and the judgment around other people. Or sometimes it just feels like the world is wrong. Feels like somehow what's happening just shouldn't be happening. So these reactions that we have, the reactivity to uncertainty, I think it's connected to, often perhaps connected to, a sense of security that has been shaken. A sense of that we thought there was some security, and we are being confronted with the fact that there's not the security that we thought there was. So essentially, we've taken something to have a kind of reliability that doesn't have that reliability. This might be a job or a relationship or a home or just the earth we stand on, or the, you know, assuming that just the stories of people, you know, in those basement apartments in New York. So many people drowned in their basement apartments because of the floods. I mean, just going to bed at night. And perhaps waking up unable to escape. You know, that thinking our home is a safe place, a refuge, a place of security, and then finding that it's not. It's unsettling. It's more than unsettling at times. It can be terrifying to find out or to see or to really touch into the truth of the unreliability. It is a truth. It's not a mistake that things are unreliable. It is the way things are. And that, you know, that I think a lot of our reaction or our relationship with that truth of uncertainty is, it's connected to not understanding that it is the nature of the world, of all experience. The nature of the earth we stand on, the nature of the planets, the solar system, the nature of all experience is unreliable at the vast levels, at the cosmic levels, and at the momentary levels, all levels. this unreliability. If there's no place in our experience that we can finally land and say, here is security. Here I can hold on to this thing, this experience, this house, this relationship, this plot of earth, or anything, and know that we'll forever be secure. Just not the way the world works. And we don't like that. At a very deep level, we don't like that truth. And it feels, at some level, it feels wrong, you know, that that is the truth. It just doesn't, it doesn't feel like, so there we begin to feel like, well, what am I doing wrong? Or what is the world doing wrong? So our usual sense of security is based in, basically it's in a misunderstanding or a not acknowledging of the way things actually are. Our usual sense of security in the world of having things or having a home and feeling safe and secure in that home. You know, that usual sense of security is based in not really truly acknowledging the unreliable nature of everything. At one point on a retreat, I was talking about these teachings of impermanence and unreliability, and one of the students came to me and she said, well, yeah, I know this is true, but you know, things feel, you know, basically things are reliable. And I said, well, you know, actually they're not, but, you know, I understand what you mean, that it does seem in the basic, like, you know, This home feels pretty reliable. I come back. I went away for 11 days and I'm back and it's still here. You know, it feels like there's some stability there. There could have been a fire that swept through and burned it down while I was gone, but it didn't. And we take that it didn't happen to be somehow a proof of the reliability somehow. This was the retreat that I was teaching where I was talking about this, and this person came to me. She got a call from her I think partner, her husband, and there had been an episode of like identity theft, and so their savings was basically being drained. And she came to me and she said, you're right. it really hit her, you know, that she had been taking that to be reliable and it wasn't reliable. It can happen at any time to any one of us, something that we don't expect. And yet the teachings of the Buddha offer a possibility of ease, of peace, in the midst of this unreliability. In the midst of this unreliability, this it's like a complete reorientation of where we might think reliability is. That there's a way that the Buddha says, yes, there is something that's reliable, but it's not something that's out there. It's not a thing. It's not an experience. It is, one way to say it might be, it's an alignment with the truth of unreliability. Rather than resisting it or fighting it, that alignment with understanding that there is this unreliability, the mind it fights its way to that. It fights its way to that understanding. We can talk about it. We can, express that. Yes, if you simply understand and acknowledge the unreliability, the impermanent nature of experience, the uncontrollable nature of experience, the mind will begin to understand that trying to hold on to something that's unreliable is where the suffering is. We can talk about that, and there can even be some level of understanding of that. But at a deep level, our system really wants to find something to hold on to. And so we keep trying. And so it's like our system fights that truth. So we have to, it's like the practice is what helps us to see in moments, perhaps just in moments at times, we might recognize when we're fighting something. We might see a kind of release from the fight. If there's maybe something like physical pain in your body and there's a resistance and a pushing and a real struggle and a confusion and an anger and all kinds of reactivity to that painful experience in the body. There, if you're practicing, if you're exploring and curious about it, there might be a moment where that resistance to the truth of the pain falls away and the pain doesn't fall away. But all of that fight falls away, all of that struggle falls away, and the mind aligns with, yes, this is the truth. In this moment, there's pain in the body, and there's a completely different experience that the heart can be at ease with that uncomfortable, painful experience. This might be a physical experience. It could be a mental experience. I was talking to somebody the other day about a family member who was ill, and the pain of that, the pain of wanting to help and not being able to help. And I pointed to, the suffering of, or the pain, the heartbreak of the loss, of the ache of the person being so ill, that may not go away, but the fighting it, the resisting that's the truth. There can be a completely different experience. It's so counterintuitive. It's so counterintuitive. And so the teachings talk about there being some reliability in understanding the unreliability, understanding the impermanent, unreliable nature of experience. Sometimes the experience for me, it feels like slippery or something. It's like everything is just changing rapidly. Nothing stays solid. Nothing stays stable. There's nowhere to land. And yet if I'm not trying to make there be something to land, it just feels like everything's always slipping. And there can be a place where the heart can rest in that movement. It feels like there's a rest within the shifting sands. Again, it sounds counterintuitive in a way. And so the teachings point to a refuge that we can perhaps pick up or explore as a possibility, the refuge of the practice, the refuge of the possibility of this shift of mind. The possibility of awakening, of possibility of understanding impermanence, unreliability, aligning, possibility of aligning ourselves with these truths. We can hear the teachings, perhaps, and get a sense of a taste. At times we might get a sense of a taste of, there being some resonance with a truth that not resisting the way things are would be much more restful. We might resonate with that in some way. And so we might begin to be curious about exploring how might that be possible? What the Buddha taught essentially, the practices the Buddha taught, the practice of mindfulness, of concentration, the wisdom that he offered, all are offered to support our movement, our own personal journey towards understanding this, understanding the alignment with the truth of the way things are as uncertain will have a effect on our system to release the suffering, release the reactivity. And so if we can have some confidence in what the Buddha taught, some confidence in that, and that's another word, a way we could think about how this refuge works, is that we kind of place our confidence, instead of placing our confidence in the things of the world or trying to find some place to land, we place our confidence in the possibility of freedom, and we place our confidence in exploring the practices that might help us to find that balance of mind, that ease, that equanimity, that balance within the midst of change. And, you know, talking about the uncertainty and coming into alignment with the truth of uncertainty, I do want to remind us all that that doesn't mean passivity. It doesn't mean that we simply settle back and say, yes, this is things as they are, you know, it doesn't mean to become inactive. This alignment with the truth of impermanence and uncertainty, it takes us to a place where we're not fighting it, not trying to make it not be uncertain, but still there's wisdom that understands certain things are helpful in moving us in a particular direction. Certain things are not helpful. And so we understand that there are conditions. As I said earlier, you know, what we tend to believe, you know, we tend to misinterpret that capacity to engage as a kind of certainty, as a kind of control. But that capacity to engage, the capacity to do things and affect certain outcomes, that capacity is what lets us practice and lets us understand how our minds work and lets us understand how the possibility of letting go can happen. Lets us understand that acting out of fear and confusion and greed tends to create more fear and confusion and greed. And acting out of compassion and wisdom and kindness tends to cultivate the direction of more ease and peace in our lives. And yet, you know, it's tending in a direction. You know, it's not like I can say, well, I'll act in this way today and I'll feel that way tomorrow. That's not how it unfolds. And yet the kind of confidence that we develop in the practice, in the teachings, is that over time we see more and more ability to align ourselves with that truth and more ease that comes with that. And so, you know, that alignment with the truth sometimes I put it this way, that the truth of what's happening in this moment, you know, that can't be changed. It's already here. That whatever messy situation or confusing situation, whatever's here, it's already happening. And if we're responding to that, what's already happening with greed, aversion, delusion, confusion, we're perpetuating that. We're perpetuating that greed, aversion, delusion, confusion. But if we respond out of wisdom and kindness and compassion, that's puts different things into the field. And so what unfolds from this moment is affected by how we are in this moment. And that's really what the Buddha is pointing to, looking at how we are responding in this moment. And responding rather than reacting is what we move towards, a responsiveness that, and there's a natural responsiveness. So when the uncertainty arises, when the chaos is here, you know, one of the first things I did this morning was call my brother and say, how are things? You know, how are you? I wanted to hear and how he was. So I reached out. I just, you know, I don't think there's much I can do from here, but, you know, just to reach out and see how things are. And so there's a movement to action, a movement to connection that we can respond to, not out of fear or greed, but out of compassion, of kindness, of care, of concern. And that's a very different response. And so this alignment with truth, I mean, again, we might think it would be that if we just accept things as they are, if we come into alignment with the truth of the uncertainty, that why would we do anything? But that's not what our system does. There's another paradox here. It kind of feels like another paradox. What our system seems to do with that is to respond and reach out. When there's suffering in the world, there's a movement to want to alleviate it. And that's not necessarily fear. And that's not necessarily confusion. That movement can come from compassion. So aligning with that truth of uncertainty, it sounds really scary. But the experience when we taste it, there can be, when we taste it and there's no, and the mind is balanced with it, when it's like, yes, this is the way it is. There's a kind of a letting go and an ease. And yet, the heart wanting to connect, and it doesn't feel at all hopeless or confusing. So there's a kind of a way that aligning with that truth, we see the world in a different way.